Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts 17, verse 16. Let's read New King James. While Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked. It was what? Provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily. How often? Daily. Those who happened to be there. And certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is which you speak of?" Go down to verse 32, in which you speak. Acts 17, verse 32. Got to watch out for Siri. It's a false prophet. Okay, Acts 17, verse 32. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We'll hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from them. However, some of them, men, joined him and believed. They did what? They believed. Among them, Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. Move in great power, as you did in the first service. Move even in an increasing way right now. May we never be the same. Would you lay hands on your own heart and just pray for yourself? Give us ears to hear and a heart to respond. Anoint these lips of clay again. I pray the effects of this service would affect even eternity, as it runs swiftly from the North Slope to Ketchikan and beyond, all the villages of Alaska, and the Western Seaboard, the Eastern Seaboard, across America, and even internationally, our churches in India. We thank and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn to somebody and say, "Have you ever been provoked?" Go ahead, ask him. You ever been provoked? Now, some people have been provoked that it was provoked in, like, not a good way. This is a good way. There's a good provoking and maybe not so good. God is a speaking God. God is a speaking God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets many times in various ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. I think it'd be better if some people didn't speak. Other people need to speak up. We are called, literally called, to speak on God's behalf. We're called to speak on his behalf. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors." What does an ambassador do? Hold that scripture. What does an ambassador do? Speaks on behalf of the president, speaks on behalf of the king. We are literally called to be ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Everybody say, "Be reconciled to God." That is what we do. That's what I did in the whole first service. That's what I do nearly every service, and especially this morning, because I'm going to talk about evangelism. I'm going to talk about how I have a power-packed 2026 to release power and breakthrough. Fasting and prayer? Absolutely. Believing his word? Absolutely. Evangelism is a commitment to share the good news of Jesus with other people. Evangelism is a commitment to share the good news of what Jesus did, his death, his resurrection, with other people. There are those who have the gift of the evangelist. All of us should evangelize. Evangelism releases God's power. I said evangelism releases God's power. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 1 and verse 16. When I was years ago in Maui, we went evangelizing with all the staff. We went off to the hospital. I don't remember if it was a hospital or a nursing home. Romans 1 and 16, read with me. Are you ready? If you have it in the New King James, read it out loud. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, also for the Greek. Hold that scripture. So we went evangelizing. I will never forget. It is one of the key things that I've, one of the many miracles I've seen and see on a regular basis. But this one just stood out to me. Because we went into this room, and as we went in, the nurse, who was sarcastic, somebody said, I have the gift of sarcasm. It's a sign of bitterness. It's not kingdom language, sarcasm. Somebody say, oh, snap. So she says to us sarcastically, oh, good luck. We're like, thanks, even though we don't believe in luck. And we went off to this room, and there was this lady in the fetal position, very elderly. I happened to know her. And to my surprise, I saw the name and realized who it was. And I had witnessed to her years ago, and a staunch Buddhist. And so we walk in, and I was with Pastor Nathan Hano Hano. Some of you know who that is. And we were there, and we started talking to the lady, and we read to her this script. In fact, I have a copy. Would you run that to me? We have these on the table outside. This is a gospel script, and it's a powerful tool for winning people to Jesus. So I read to her this script, and as we read it, in actual fact, Pastor Nathan read it. And at the end, she gave her heart to Jesus. Her eyes opened up. She listened, and she prayed the sinner's prayer with us. She got saved. She got saved, and we were like so rejoicing. It was like heaven invaded the room. It was this beautiful moment. And when we said goodbye, we left. She died 3 days later. But that's not the miracle. I mean, that's a great miracle. But when we walked out, the lady who was sarcastic, the nurse said, well, did you have a nice time? We said, yeah, she gave her life to Jesus. She's like, yeah, well, she can't hear. She's deaf. And we thought, well, she wasn't deaf when we were talking to her, but the gospel has power. The gospel has power. So you need to preach it. You need to teach it. You need to demonstrate it. And honestly, if you'll do it with a pure heart, he'll demonstrate it all by himself. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you give your life to Jesus, I mean, it's just amazing. Go to Colossians 3. He takes away your old life and things become new. Colossians 1 and 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Come on, somebody say, I've been delivered from darkness. I've been delivered. Okay, but maybe you haven't. If you haven't been delivered from darkness, you can be delivered from darkness today. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I want to read this in the Amplified version, as I said earlier. If it's a little loud, it's Amplified. Colossians 1 and 13, for he rescued us and has drawn us to himself from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He transferred us. So in one moment, if you don't know Jesus, your sin remains, and in one moment, you're here. You believe on the Lord that he died on a cross and he rose again from the grave, and you believe and you confess and you repent. In that moment, you are transferred out of a dominion of darkness. You're conveyed out of a dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of his Son. But yeah, but I'm still standing here. Oh, yes. Your body's still here, but your spirit has been translated. He has given you a new spirit. Somebody said, I'm going to heaven because I go to church. Was that brother in the between services? I said, no, you're not. You must be born again. You must be conveyed. You must be translated out of darkness into the kingdom. That's when you're in Christ and he's in you. You're seated in heavenly places. Ephesians talks about that. A lot of people don't understand that, but that's the truth. So what happens if you're not conveyed? Tell me where you are then.
Oh, dominion of darkness.
If you don't get conveyed, you don't get translated, transferred, then where are you dwelling? You're still in darkness. You said, that's not very fun. Exactly. You're actually what the Bible calls a son of perdition. He said, well, that's a good thing I'm a daughter. It applies to you too, sweetheart. I mean, that's amazing. So understand how important that is. Let's look at the text. Paul here in Acts 17, you got to understand where he's been. He's on a second missionary journey. Acts 16, he's in Troas. He gets a revelation. And the revelation, well, he's been stopped by the Holy Spirit, which is profound. Not all meetings are from God. Just because you get a meeting, you're supposed to go somewhere, you feel like you want to go somewhere, God can say no. You need to go where the Spirit leads. You don't just plant churches and do things willy-nilly. God will lead you, even though it can be right and good. Gospel needed to be preached in Asia, which is now Turkey. But Paul hears from the Holy Spirit, no. So he has a vision later about a Macedonian man. A Macedonian man comes and bids him to come, and from that revelation, he understands that he should go to Troas. Or he should go to Macedonia, pardon me. This divine course correction, some of you might need that. The gospel officially moves into Europe right here. And then Acts 16, verse 11 to 40, Lydia is converted. It's the first European convert. There's a woman with a python spirit, a spirit of divination. And her masters are very upset that she gets set free. Paul, after many days, being greatly annoyed. Annoyance can be a sign that there's a demonic activity. Not just your flesh. You can actually be annoyed in the spirit. And that's what happens with Paul. He said to the spirit, come out. She gets set free. A riot ensues. They end up in prison. They're in prison. And they decided to have a time of worship. I mean, there are many keys to having power and breakthrough. Prayer and fasting, believing the word, talking about evangelism, but you can certainly add giving. I touched on that. You can certainly add worship. There's a lot of things. It's not the all-inclusive keys on how to have power and breakthrough. It's just some. So they worship. You know, yesterday I was doing some errands at home and getting ready and praying, and I had my headphones on, and I was worshiping God. I wound up so undone in the spirit. I'm weeping and crying over a pile of clothes that I was putting away. And it wasn't because my wife wasn't doing it. I was weeping and crying because God was touching my heart. And I just sat there weeping. I'm like, oh my God, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And I just broke out into this song, and I just was undone. Have you had times like that? Because if you worship like that in your home, you'll have unprecedented breakthrough all over your house. Some of you listen to P. Diddy and whatever you listen to. Not Pastor Daniel, P. Diddy, somebody else. This is some... You need to get rid of your bumping, grinding music and start worshiping God. And you'll see the chains fall off and you'll see the gates open. It was a miracle. Some of you don't know, you don't understand the power of worship. Well, they worship and God breaks them out. Then in Thessalonica, they're there, Acts 17. And as I was studying, I felt like God is going to send us back to Thessalonica. I was there as a young man. I feel like we got some work to do there for the Lord. So I'll just throw that out prophetically. Acts 17, 1 through 9, Paul reasoned with them three Sabbaths in a row from the scriptures. A mob ensues. Again, Berea, Acts 17. He's talking to a more noble group, the Bereans. You might have heard that it's kind of Christianese. You know what Christianese is? I try to avoid it. You got so many hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Everybody's like start speaking this Christian language that nobody actually understands except for people who've been in the church for 35 years. Just going to do some cleaning today. What in God's name are you talking about? Berean, be a good Berean. That phrase, which is Christianese, be a good Berean, is someone who goes and studies the scriptures to find out what the preacher is saying is true or not. That's a great thing to do. And you should do the same with everything I preach to you and teach to you, along with everybody else that comes through this place. So he'd been through a lot. Paul had been through a lot. The man needed a vacation. That's how I see it. He needed a break. Or did he? They send him to Athens, an all expense paid trip. I'm reading into it a little bit. To Athens. And there in verse 16, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked. Not his emotions, his spirit. It's not his flesh, it's his spirit. His spirit is provoked within him because he saw the city was given over to idols. He was provoked. The word provoked means sharply stirred, deeply distressed. That's what the NIV says. He was distressed when he saw the city was full of idols. He was agitated, but it's agitation to the point of doing something. He was agitated to the point of action. It's an intense inner reaction. And I'm going to say it this way. It's an intense inner reaction that's based upon the truth of God's word. So when he saw the idols and he saw everything that was happening, it stirred within him so powerfully, so deeply it hit him that he began to preach and he began to teach. He's supposed to be on a break. You know, maybe not, but I'm reading into it. It just seems like, wait for us in Athens. He's provoked. He's stirred. He can't help himself. Like Jeremiah said, his word is in me like a fire shut up in my bones. He couldn't help but testify. Why was he provoked? Because it wasn't just an intellectual disagreement. It was more than intellectual disagreement. It was a spiritual discernment and an awareness of his responsibility before God. He was stirred. He was deeply stirred and provoked to have to say something. As I've gotten older in the Lord, I'm beginning to grow up. Anybody else beginning to grow up? I'm a late bloomer. I don't know. I have some people that are grown up and they didn't bloom at all. So I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm almost 60. And I wouldn't go back to being 20 for anything. I'm so grateful for what God has done. And there's a stirring in me. And I've found, because I've studied the word a little bit and understand a little bit, that when I'm in a conversation and lies are being spoken, I cannot shut up. I don't sit in a group of people and watch somebody just talk about lies. People are bamboozled. They're filled with lies. Well-meaning Christians, even being born again, don't understand the word, and they think that like everything's going to be okay because you're born again. No, you have to continue to grow in God. We'll talk about that because Paul doesn't just witness. He makes disciples. So he was disturbed because they broke the first commandment, which violated the first commandment, which is Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. There's idols everywhere. And I've had this happen, being in different places around people start spouting off and saying stuff and leading people astray. I just say, hi. It's happened in the sauna dozens of times. Yeah, hey, actually, that's not true. And they're like, oh, well, that's what I believe. I said, I'm sure you do, but your belief is incorrect. I witnessed to a guy, told him about Jesus, what Jesus has done to a brother just down the street at the corner at the gas station a number of years ago. I'm getting propane. He's helping pump the propane into my propane bottles. And I start talking about Jesus, and I get to the point where, what would you do if this was your last day and you died? He said, I'd be grateful. I'm like, oh, yeah, why? He said, because I'd be with all the Teletubbies and the gummy bears up in a place called, I don't know, Rainbowville or something. I'm like, dude, you're like smoking weed, or you're taking peyote, or you're eating mushrooms or something. I mean, where would you get the idea that you're going to be with Teletubbies and gummy bears in a place called Rainbowville or whatever he called it? I forget. The Teletubbies and gummy bears was real, but he had like a name for it. It was like, I don't know, Valhalla, kind of some strange thing that he invented. And I asked him, why would you believe that? He says, that's what I believe. You can believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. I said, that's true, but what you're believing is a lie. He said, no, it's not. What you're believing is a lie. I said, no, it isn't. And I said to him, have you ever been wrong? He said, yeah. I said, you're wrong right now. And I tried to win him over, and I didn't lead him to Jesus. And I hope he doesn't think he's going to Gummy Bearville or whatever it is. Because he's going to end up in hell if he doesn't receive Christ. So, oh, did he just say that, Pastor Dan? Yeah, welcome to Kings. Yeah, it's the biblical truth. That's why he was provoked. They broke the first commandment, but he understood the judgment was coming. Judgment's coming for you, sir. Bump your neighbor and say, you're going to be judged. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, you're going to be judged. It's wonderful to hold that before you, because then you understand that every second of your life, every second of your life counts. You will stand before God on the day of judgment. No, no, I'm not. I'm born again. Your theology is all jacked up too, because there's the judgment seat of the believer. Yes, there's a judgment seat of the wicked dead. Yes, there's a judgment seat of the nations. There's a judgment seat of the believer. You and I, if you're a believer, I am. Raise your hand if you are. Okay. If you're a believer, you're going to stand before him. Paul understood that judgment was coming. So why this hit Paul so deeply, why did it hit him so deeply, why did it hit him so hard, is because he knew that hell was real. Bump your neighbor and say, hell is real. This is part your fault. This is part your fault. He pulled me aside a couple years ago and grabbed me by my jacket. Very rude. Grabbed me by both lapels.
Amen.
Both lapels. And he's shaking. And he says, have you read the book? 23 minutes in hell. I'm like, no, maybe. I don't know. Read it. I was like, okay. I mean, he was driven. It impacted him. I'd suggest y'all read 23 Minutes in Hell. Somebody said, are you a hellfire church? Honestly, is there any healthy church that preaches the gospel that doesn't talk about hell? Because Jesus talked about hell as much as more than heaven. He knew that he would have to give an account. It's not just that hell is real. He knew that he'd have to give an account. He knew hell is real, but he knew that he would have to give an account. Everybody say it with me. He knew that he would have to give an account to God. Bunch of scripture. You're going to have to give an account. I've shared this before. You've heard it. You've been here for any length of time. You heard about the vision/dream because Dr. Morocco doesn't remember which one it is. He shared it, and I've said it so many times it became mine. I mean, literally, it was his to begin with, but I took it. And it became mine. He's standing before the throne. He's standing before the throne of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. He's standing before the throne at the end of his life. His life is over. And the Lord says to him, what happened? And Dr. Morocco says, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the leaders. I didn't have the building. I didn't have what I needed to do, what you called me to do. And the Lord says, oh, son, didn't you know? I would have helped you if you tried. I've said it before. If you want to define kings, we try in faith a lot. We push forward because we are going to stand before him. And I don't want to hear when I stand before him what happened. Why did you eat bonbons and ride on the couch and just chill? I'm not going to hear that. I want to hear well done. I don't want to hear anything else but, and I'm beginning to see an increase in God's power and God's authority and God's calling upon us as a church to do more than we have ever done before, and God will empower us to do it. And here's the thing. We'll stand before him. Whoa! 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things while done in the body, whether good or bad. If anybody needed a vacation, I think it's the Apostle Paul. But at the same time, when you're provoked and God interrupts you, you know, I think there's times where maybe some people need to take a break or whatever. I'm never going to take a sabbatical. I don't think so. Why? Because what are you gonna do? You're gonna quit witnessing? I mean, I'm all for vacation. I'm all for that. I think that's good. But on my vacation, I witness. On my vacation, I pray. On my vacation, I worship. On my vacation, I'm still living for God. You don't take a vacation from being a Christian. You don't take a vacation from serving God. And you can end up in a place where you're troubled. 2 Corinthians 5:11, I believe it is. Would you go back to that 2 Corinthians 5:11? You had it up there a moment ago. I need it. knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What is that? The terror of the Lord. We persuade men. We are well known to God, and I also trust are well known for your conscience. The terror, leave it up, terror. What terror? Go do a word study on terror. The terror of the Lord. There's a place of separation when you don't have God. There's a place of thanatos, separation, a place of hell for those who don't receive Jesus. And I'm so glad you're here to hear this message and all those in Kotzebue, wherever you are. I'm so glad. But it is life and death. And let me say, it's life and death where you go to church too. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's not only that he knew he had to give an account, but God's love compelled him to do something. He saw the idols. He saw the potential of hell. He understood his own judgment that would come upon him for not doing something. One of the most wild experiences of evangelism that I had was I was picking up a young adult guest years ago, pre-TSA. So with Pastor Karen and a group of people, and plane was delayed, and we got to wait at the gate. That's when you could go back and wait at the gate. You know, now you have to stay outside, but we're waiting at the gate, and I've shared this story, but just briefly again. I looked at all the hundreds of people that are waiting for this plane that was going to fly over the sea and go to a far, far away place. And as we're waiting for the plane to come in, and our guest that we were going to pick up is going to be a guest speaker that weekend, I'm looking at all the people. Hundreds of people, however many people fit on a 747. I mean, a lot of people. And I'm looking at them, and I'm realizing, oh, their marriage is having difficulty. You can see it. And then I see a couple that's trapped in homosexuality, and I see that. I see some other kid with his girlfriend, and they're all handsy right next to mom and dad. And I thought, oh, Jesus, man, we need revival. God, we need revival. I'm looking out. I'm seeing somebody else struggling with drugs. I start having discernment about what's taking place. And I just thought, oh, Jesus. And I said to all of us that were gathered there, I said, man, look at that crowd, man. They need the Lord. And everybody's looking over, and I hear this. The watchman who's on the wall, if he does not blow the trumpet, then the blood is on their hands. And I'm like, wonder who that is. And I hear it again. If you don't blow the trumpet, then their blood is on your hands. Now, at that point, it's so clear that I'm not sure their plane's going to crash or I don't know what's going to happen, but I now have to do something. And so I then made the bold, I've said it was a mistake, but it was really getting support. I said, man, here's what the Lord just told me. And I told everybody. And some of them start praying in tongues. Karen's praying in tongues. And I just thought, oh, Jesus, I got to preach. I got to preach to this whole plane load of people. I thought, oh, God. I stood up. Everybody starts praying in tongues. I walk off. I'm like, Lord, it just come upon me with power. So I raised my hand. I know what it is to feel his power. I feel it now to a certain degree. I know what it is to feel his unction to preach. I'm feeling it a bit right now. So I'm like, just come on me with that. And we'll rip it, Lord. Nothing. Zero. Lord, just anoint me. He's like, just go. I'm like, okay. So I just felt like he said, go stand in the midst of them. So I went over and stood by a phone booth. Tells you how long ago it was. Some of you don't know what that is. They used to have these little booths that you put coins in, which they don't have too much of it anymore either. And then you could make a phone call. It was one of those. So I stood by this, went to go stand by this phone booth, this place I wanted to stand, and there's this guy standing there. I'm like, Lord, I want to stand right there and the guy just leaves. I'm like, okay, thanks. And I go and I stand there and I just felt to look at him. And all of a sudden I start seeing more and more brokenness, more and more brokenness, more and more desperation, more and more people on the rocks and hurting and broken and drugs and carousing. I just start seeing all sin. I start seeing it everywhere. And I just feel like, oh God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Help me, help me, give me, I just said to him in my spirit, I said, give me one more sign of encouragement. God, help me now. And I look over and I see one of my young adult bros on the far side walks in on the far side. He's like, and I'm like, that's it. I just jumped right off a cliff. And I said, excuse me. Hey, everybody. Hi. Have you had a nice time on your vacation? And everybody's like, I said, did you have a nice time in your vacation? And then like half of them are like, yeah, aloha. I told them a joke, which I won't tell you right now. It was a godly joke. It wasn't scriptural, but it was godly. And then I said, in all seriousness, everybody's laughing at my joke. And I said, in all seriousness, if your plane crashes tonight and you die, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? And I preached the gospel. Oh, it's the same thing that happens. It's happening right now. You had a whole group of people that are like, oh my gosh, God bless that guy. He's telling the gospel. Other people are like, shut up. Bunch of people from Minnesota losing their minds. Losing their minds. Shut up. F-bomb. Shut up. A bunch of other people didn't hear anything. Because they're just like, nah, they didn't have text back then. But they didn't hear anything. It's the same thing that happens in church. People that are rejoicing, hearing everything, taking it home, that's most of you. Some of you just texting, Instagramming, TikToking, you're not hearing anything I said. And a group of other people want me to shut up because I'm talking about hell. You brought your friend for the first time and now you're embarrassed. I'm talking about hell. Don't be embarrassed. It's the truth. God's love compelled him to act. That's what compelled me to preach. And a bunch of people, I believe, heard the gospel really clearly. I walked off shaking under the power of God. The plane still wasn't here. I sat down and had some guy come up to me and said, dude, that was some guts right there. Way to go, bro. I'm like, thanks, man. I've done other times and had people say, shut up. Guy dying on the side of the highway. As I reached in, I'm preaching the gospel to him. He's on his last breath and he died. And I led him to Jesus. And while I'm doing that, this guy says to me, the car's on its side. I'm on top of the car, leaning into the car. Why would you do that? I don't know. I'm a shepherd. I love people. And there is a place of eternity in separation from God. I'm preaching to you the way I'm preaching to you because it's real. You want a breakthrough in 2026? Learn to be evangelized. Yes, be an evangelist, sure. But also share your faith. Reach to the lost because hell and heaven are at stake. I'm reaching, the guy's taking his last breath. I said, repeat after me. I told him the gospel. I said, repeat after me. And some knucklehead, probably also from Minnesota or New York or some other blue state. So I turned around. And he said, he doesn't need to hear that. And I said, shut up. And he's like, oh. And I led him to Christ and he died on the spot. Died. God's love compelled Paul to act. He reasoned with them. He did what? He reasoned with them in the synagogue. And I find that fascinating because there's a lie out there of a dual covenant. Dual covenant is that Jews just go to heaven. If Jews just went to heaven, remaining Jews, then Paul wouldn't say many of the things that he said. And he certainly would be arguing in a synagogue. Jews just don't go to heaven because they're Jews. There's going to come such a great move of God. It's called the fullness of the Gentiles. There's a moment. There's a judicial blindness over Jewish people who we deeply love and need to serve and be their friends, no doubt. But at the same time, there's a blindness that keeps them from seeing Jesus as the Messiah. If you're offended right now, go study your Bible. I'm here to offend you as well. Because it's just not preached, it's not taught. There is no dual covenant. There's only one covenant. You must believe on the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And so he would reason in the synagogue. Recently had somebody leave and go get baptized into Judaism. I don't understand that. Maybe I'll have a chance to figure out why that would be. You got to be born again. If you're a Jew, you need to be born again. If you're a Gentile, you need to be born again. You're not just grafted in and instantly, you know, saved if you're a Jew. That's not true. So he went and reasoned with them in the synagogue. What does that mean? He argued with them using the scriptures. There's a time for arguing. Some of you are argumentative. I think that can be a great gift. You need to get out of your bitterness and your that which you're arguing that's perhaps not the Lord. Maybe you're just a fighter. You need to get redeemed, get healed, and start arguing the cause of Christ. And people need to be debated. Come on, the guy with his Teletubbies and his whatever his rainbow world. Somebody needed to tell him, dude, you're messed up. Are you thankful that somebody told you you're messed up and you needed Jesus? It's called evangelism. He shared the gospel daily. I do that. Daily. It's not something that I'm like, oh, part of my discipline, although it is a pillar of your faith to witness. Everybody should witness. There are evangelists. But everyone should witness in some way. He shared the gospel daily. Get on your social media page and say something about Christ. Testify about how he healed you. Testify about this great word of hell and put a link to this service right here. People need to hear this. You want to see power and breakthrough in 2026. Add prayer and fasting? Yes. Believe the word? Yes. Be established? Prosper? Yes. And share your faith. Witness. Testify, evangelize, because hell is real. Read the book, 23 Minutes in Hell. If you don't have a revelation of hell, you'll not have a revelation of what you've been saved from. And I found that people that don't understand that don't share their faith much. People that know that they've been set free, people that know what they've been delivered of, you can't shut them up. They just want to talk about it. They want to testify about it. I mean, if you got $1 trillion put into your bank account, wouldn't you just shout and scream? And it's like that. When you get born again and you get saved and you realize what he saved you and delivered you from, it'll put a fire in your belly. You don't give a flip if they don't like you, because you stand before the audience of one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you'll stand before him on that day. I'm going to preach, pray, testify. I don't care if they think I'm out my mind. I'm going to go for it. I'm just grateful. Come on. I'm just grateful for what you've done for me. That is a key to breakthrough. And let me land this plane. He raised up disciples. He raised up what? Disciples. You see, they took to Marius, others. So I've said to Evangelist John Duke, I said to every evangelist I know, praise God, win souls in the street, go for it. Just make sure, for the love of God, you connect them to the local church, because people need to get born again, but they need to get discipled. You know how many people we had saved here? Nearly 5,000, just under 5,000 people saved in this building last year. Where are they? Now, some of you are here, praise the Lord. Where's the rest of them? I don't know. Oh, Pastor, you guys should like do something about that. We are. I have a whole department that does something about it. Like, that's what they do. It's called a connect department. They call the first-time salvations and recommitments, and they try to reach them and talk to them and help them and get them in a life group and get them discipled. That's what Paul did. It's not just winning souls, because if you do that, you can inoculate people. What do you mean? Well, it's like the guy that I was ministering to in an mental institution. I pulled my Bible out, and he says, what is that? I said, it's a Bible. He said, oh, yeah, I read that. You read that? He said, yeah, I tried Jesus. Didn't work. That's a different Jesus. Whatever he tried, it's not what I got. Whatever he did is not what happened to me. It's not what happened to you. It's not what happened to Pastor Karen. I mean, you've been totally transformed, Pastor Karen. And it's not just in a one moment from 30 years ago. You've gone from glory to glory to glory to glory, where you were once weak, now you're strong, where you couldn't talk to people, now you're a preacher and you're praying and you're prophesying an open door. Come on, God can take your life no matter what you've been through. And obviously, he didn't get that. So if you just witness to people, and I think we should, and they need to get born again, but they must be discipled. He didn't say go around and make converts. He didn't say go around and have people pray the sinner's prayer. He said go make disciples of all nations. Disciples of all nations. God's speaking to us. The key to making this year a year of power and breakthrough is evangelism. Jehoshaphat, back to Karen, Pastor Karen's word, and I'm I'm trying to close. Jehoshaphat believed the prophet, they all that, but then he sends out these priests to go teach everybody the word. That's what our life groups are. Got life groups. We're going to have 300 life groups. We had 221 at a high water mark. We're going to hit 300. Come on, somebody say 300. We're going to have 100 teams, 300 life groups. Say it with me. 100 teams. That's like worship team, youth team, children's team. 100 teams. We have 65 right now. 100 teams, 300 life groups. Why? Because we need to not only evangelize, we need to make disciples. The best way to get discipled is in a small group. Some keys on how to do this. Build a bridge with people. Get in people's boat. Jesus got in Peter's boat. Get to know people. Connect with them on the level that you can connect with. Get a commonality and you can begin to talk about that and use that as a bridge to bring the greatest news, Jesus. There's great power in praying for specific people. I'm a product of prayer, the prayer of my beautiful 87-year-old mother there. I'm a product of swallowed hard right there. And some of you think that you just, you know, it's all about you. You wouldn't even be here if somebody didn't pray for you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody contended for you. I certainly have. Many others have. There's nothing like a praying mother, a praying father, nothing like it. My mother prayed me out and prayed me into the kingdom. I'm so grateful. I'll finish my race, Mom. You won't be reading about me in embarrassment. I'm gonna finish the race. I'm gonna finish it. It's not how fast you run. It's how you finish. I'm gonna finish. Come on, somebody say, I'm gonna finish. But there's great power in praying for people. You pray for the knuckleheaded neighbor who's just drinking and carousing across the street. You pray for him every day. You reach your hands out. I can tell you story after story. Next door neighbors, they thought we were detectives and they were like, I don't know, growing weed and do all kinds of crazy stuff on the Hawaiian Islands. And they just wanted to beat us. It was so bad and we would reach our hands towards them. I had some situations before I got saved. As in my saved, sanctified life, which has been a while now, I never before wanted to hit anybody as hard as I wanted to hit this guy. No, hit, like punch in the face. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? My kids were hearing curses for the first time. He had backed his car up into my driveway and smoked his tires until they popped. Does anybody know how long that takes? Because it's a massive white cloud that goes on for 15 minutes. Choked out my whole house with the smell of rubber. Cursed out the lady that was below us, this elderly lady. My wife calls me in tears, doesn't know what to do. I race home and I'm gonna hurt him. I was having a very bad day at ministry, bad day at the church. I come home and I was gonna just totally knock his teeth down his throat. I came up, heard the whole story from Pastor Karen. We had been praying for them. I go downstairs just so angry. And then I open up the door to leave my house to beat him. None of you have ever felt this way, I'm sure. I'm just the only honest one here. I walk across the threshold of my door and I walked into like a cloud of like, I don't know. It was like everything was in a cloud. I walk out, all the anger's gone. I walk out to the end of my driveway and I see the guy and he grabs a pickaxe and he runs at me with a pickaxe. It's God's honest truth. Karen saw it out the window, runs at me with a pickaxe and goes to hit me with a pickaxe. And honestly, I was so in another place. I like walked into a realm of the spirit. Here comes the pickaxe. I wasn't even going to lift my hands. I'm like, here comes a pickaxe. Before he could swing the whole thing, he starts shaking like this. And he shakes and he falls off and falls on the ground on the curb. And I thought, whoa. God himself cracked him. There's great power in sharing the gospel and being bold. You don't be afraid. You be bold as a lion, gentle as a dove. And fools go where angels fear to tread. So you be led by the Spirit. Be prepared to share the gospel. Be prepared to share Romans Road. There's scriptures for the Romans Road. It teaches you very simplistic from scripture about salvation. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, 6:23. Wages of sin is death. Gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's many other ways. Script, there's many other ways. But add to this, many ways to share your faith. Lastly, and forgive me for going a little long, but you all needed it. We needed it. It's a good word. Invite people to church. Invite people. You say, I'm just afraid to, I'm afraid to witness. While you're working on that, just bring them here. I'll get them saved. Get them here. But work on it. Use any and all means for people to hear the gospel. Oh, Pastor Karen wants me to finish the story about the neighbors. So we, right after that, they repented to me, and they were Mormons. And so I had a little bit of a conflict about some of the stuff, but we became friends. And I told them about Jesus, and we began to have some communion, and I don't mean like literally communion, but like some fellowship. And they invited us over for New Year's, and they fed us food, and all the years of Pastor Karen's sugar cookies won them over, I think. And when we moved away from that neighborhood, they were in the street weeping with the church that we had left, that we moved. The church was lined to the streets as we drove away. And they were out there crying. Right on! People that hated me and wanted to beat me. Come on, he'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. The hardest-hearted person can change. I don't know where they're at now. I pray they've found the Lord, because otherwise they'd be in trouble along with maybe your friends. You know, God, you are God's method. I am God's method. He sends you. He sends me. We're a soul-winning station. We're a combine. We're a church that's going to reach the lost. Can somebody say amen? And in doing that, God will provide, and God will pour out his spirit. God will do amazing things. Raise your hand if you're going to do a better job of evangelizing your family. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You'll stand before God, so let that motivate you. Let hope motivate you, sure. Let accountability motivate you. God, we thank you. Keys to having a year of power and breakthrough, fasting and prayer, knowing the word. And now, Lord, evangelism, I pray, release the power and the gift of the evangelist on each person here, that all of us would be troubled, provoked to take a city, provoked to take our family, provoked to take the land, provoked to take the nation, provoked to take the state. May we be provoked. People are headed to hell. They need you. We are the solution. We carry the solution. We carry the greatest message. Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected. I remember what it was like to be without you. I remember what it was like to cry myself to sleep. I remember what it was like to be alone. And God, you rescued me. And I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful. And in that gratitude, each and every one of us, come on, stand up on your feet. Each and every one of us are going to share the good news. Stir us. Stir us to action. We thank you for it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Woo! Did you get something from God? Me too.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.